Welcome to Fragile X Dad
and Mom Podcast.
This is episode 6. On today's episode, we have a real special guest,
Dr. Rondi Hagerman from the UC Davis Mind Institute. She is the medical director at the UC Davis Mind Institute. And yeah, she's going to be our first interview. I'm so excited.
And she's like the motherland of, you know, Fragile X, the one to go to. Right?
Yes. And I'm so grateful that you guys submitted your questions. She was able to answer a few questions. And hopefully you guys find this very resourceful.
And unfortunately, I'm not able to be in there. I got to do my dad duties and take care of little Emmett. And I'll hand it off to Erica and let her do her thing.
All right. So let's get going. Welcome back to Fragile X Dad and Mom Podcast. I am here with Dr. Rondi Hagerman. Sorry if I mispronounced your name.
No, Rondi Hagerman Rondi is right.
Okay, so we are here with Dr. Rondi. She has taken some time out of her day to answer some of your questions. And I received several questions on here. So I'll allow Dr. Rondi Hagerman to introduce herself and tell us, you know, a little bit about herself.
Sure. So I'm a developmental and behavioral pediatrician, and I've been in the Fragile X field for 40 years. A long time.
That is a long time.
Since 1980. And I, you know, I run a Fragile X clinic here at the Mind Institute at University of California, Davis Medical Center, and we're in Sacramento. But I was in Colorado for 20 years until 2000, and then I came to California. But I was born and raised in Berkeley, so...
You had to come back to California.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. I know there was a few families that had mentioned that they had met you back in Colorado.
Yeah. I ran a Fragile X clinic for 20 years there.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
First question is, should Fragile X kids be in the same classroom as autistic kids?
Yes. So it all depends on the level of functioning of the Fragile X child. Usually if a child with Fragile X does pretty well, we like to mainstream them in the regular classroom because they're very good at copying other kids. And if they're around regular kids, then the behaviors that they copy are normal behaviors. But in an autism classroom, you get great therapy and continual stimulation, language, and social interaction. So that benefits a lot of more severely involved kids with Fragile X and autism. The best of both worlds would be to have an autism classroom that has normal kids who are integrated into that program so that the child with Fragile X has some good models to copy.
Yeah, of course. Okay, the second question is, do kids with Fragile X tend to be friendlier than kids with autism diagnosis?
In general, that is the case. Children with Fragile X are typically more interested in social interactions, and they can have more empathy than kids with idiopathic autism or autism of unknown causes that isn't Fragile X. And the best example of that is that I've had many Fragile X kids who were voted homecoming king in their high school because of their interest and interaction with a lot of other kids. And usually they're very popular among their peers. But not all kids. I've had kids with really Fragile X and severe autism who aren't interested at all in social interaction. So it's quite variable. But in general, they're more social than other kids with idiopathic autism.
Yes, and they're great imitators.
Yeah, they're great imitators.
Yes, of course. Okay. So it says, this parent wants to know about weight issues with full mutation Fragile X kids. And if there's a connection between the Prader-Willi phenotype. And she also comments that her son is 3.5 years old and weighs 50 pounds and is very close to the size of his 6-year-old cousins.
Yes, so many kids with Fragile X can overeat. They often stuff their mouth, and sometimes they lack satiation or feeling full after a meal. So the ones that have really severe overeating problem and obesity, they are called the Prader-Willi phenotype of Fragile X. They really don't have Prader-Willi syndrome, which is a 15q deletion syndrome, but they have that phenotype or that behavioral manifestations, even though they're Fragile X. That occurs in probably less than 10% of those with Fragile X. But the knockout mouse of Fragile X is obese, typically, and about 60% of those with Fragile X syndrome can be obese, 50 to 60%.
Okay. Is there a certain kind of treatment for that?
Well, so sometimes some treatments like risperidone or Abilify aripiprazole, that can cause weight gain. So sometimes the excessive weight gain can be related to the atypical antipsychotics. And sometimes different medications can lower weight. A medication that we study a lot is metformin treatment in Fragile X, and that can help you lose weight. There's other medications that can make you eat less, like a stimulant medication can make you eat less. And so oftentimes it'll take more than one medication to lower the weight gain.
So there's options, definitely.
Yeah, there's definitely options
to help out. Okay. It says, do you have any sleep suggestions for kids with Fragile X?
Yes. So there's sleep hygiene. You want to calm them down before going to sleep and sometimes read them stories. But the problem with Fragile X is not just calming them down before sleep, but oftentimes sleep can get dysregulated so that they can wake up in the middle of the night. That's probably related to a GABA deficit. The inhibitory system doesn't work well, and that system is very important for sleep. So there's medications. The first one we try is melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
The second one we try is usually a low dose of clonidine. Other medications that can be used include trazodone. We usually don't like to use benzodiazepines just because they can be habit forming. But sometimes the atypicals, like a low dose of Abilify or risperidone at bedtime, can help too. We usually don't use those unless there's some aggression or some other severe behavior problems that can interfere. But usually, one of these medications will help with sleep.
Yeah, I know we use white noise. We use the water sounds, like those.
Uh-huh. Sometimes the heart beating sound can help.
Yeah, Emmy likes the sound of the fan. So the fan going on in the background kind of helps kind of soothe him to sleep, which is another option.
Yeah, and that's particularly good in the summer to cool the house down.
That works too. So another one is, if Fragile X syndrome is the most common cause of autism, why do special education teachers and doctors not know about Fragile X syndrome?
Well, they don't read the medical literature. They're not up to date. So oftentimes you have to educate your therapists and healthcare providers. But basically, pediatric journals, neurology journals, psychiatry journals, and even the associations with these professions, they say that the workup for autism is not complete until you do genetic testing for Fragile X. Other types of genetic testing is also a CGH array. But the CGH array and whole exome sequencing won't detect Fragile X. You have to have a Fragile X DNA test. So anybody with autism that has not had a Fragile X DNA test needs to have one. Yeah. It's medically indicated.
Yes, and with Emma, the pediatrician, the neurologist didn't request it. It wasn't until we insisted that we didn't think that it was just autism, that we thought there was something more, that they were like, okay, well, we'll send you to a geneticist, and that's when they were like, okay, now we're going to test. But you shouldn't get to the point where you have to go all the way to a geneticist to get that kind of testing done.
Yeah, the general pediatrician can order the testing.
Mm-hmm.
The neurologist.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm like so upset, because it's like, we didn't have to go through all those hurdles to get a simple test for Fragile X syndrome.
Yes.
But sometimes you do, because they're not up to date and they don't read the journals and things like that. So, yeah, that's a struggle for families, I know.
But I've written about 400 papers along with several books about Fragile X. And I'm not the only one that writes about it. It's probably the hottest topic in autism and neurobiology and even targeted treatments.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, it says, is it worth it to travel to the Mind Institute or can you get the same services at any other Fragile X clinic?
Well, I think the Fragile X clinics are really good.
They are great, yeah.
Of course, I think I'm the best, but, you know.
You have to come here because she's the best. Honestly, like, I mean, I haven't been to the other Fragile X clinics, but you are the best. You gave us a little bit of hope that we needed when Emmett was diagnosed. We weren't going to get that anywhere. I felt like it was just, we needed that at the moment, especially when your child is diagnosed. You need somebody that understands you, that you don't have to explain a million things that your child's doing. And Dr. H, as soon as she saw him, she's like, oh, you guys are not getting sleep. Like, you could tell that. I remember that's the first thing that you told us. That as soon as
really?
I still remember the day you told us that, you know, we had bags under our eyes, obviously, because we hadn't been sleeping for 2 years. And you saw us, me and my husband, and you were like, you guys haven't been sleeping, huh? And I was like, no. You're like, you look like it. You guys haven't been sleeping for years. Let me help you out. And I'm never going to forget that. Because I'm like, she has helped with Emmett's sleep problems, which she had several of them. I'm happy with him sleeping 6 days out of the week. And I'm okay with him not sleeping one day out of the week because I didn't sleep for 2 years straight.
Yeah. So, but I think the Fragile X clinics are very good around the country. They're and I resource. Think they get better and better and better with time.
Yes. I know I was speaking with one of the people from TalkFX yesterday, and they're saying that they're trying to get, they're trying to collaborate from Oregon, from Washington, from Idaho, from those states up there, and trying to get a Fragile X clinic up there because they don't have one, and they have to travel all the way down to California to get those services. And
yeah,
it's kind of...
It's hard.
Discouraging for them. And it's hard to travel with kids with Fragile X. So.
And it's impossible with COVID.
Yeah, especially right now. Okay, so moving on to the next question. It says, do you think stem cell research along with the gene therapies might be a viable treatment option in the near future?
And oh, yes.
Oh, go for it. You can answer that
one. Oh, yes. In fact, we're going to have a conference at the Mind that will either be in person or it'll be done virtually next September. It was supposed to be this September, but we had to postpone it. So the title is Gene Therapy and Stem Cell Therapy for Neurodevelopmental Disorders. Okay. It'll take place here at the Mind. We're bringing in people from all over the U.S. and some international speakers who have done gene therapy and stem cell therapy for a variety of disorders, including autism and Fragile X syndrome. What's going on with Fragile X syndrome, like, for instance, David Hampson from Toronto will talk about gene therapy in the Fragile X mouse model, and I do think it will become a treatment in the future. I don't think next year or the year after, but I think eventually it will be available. So I'm very excited about the possibility of gene therapy or stem cell therapy for Fragile X.
I'm excited too. Looking forward to that. Okay.
Yeah.
They added also from that question, they added, if we are able to replace the missing protein with therapy, could that make a big difference in intellectual disability treatment?
Yes.
Of course, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we would love to. In fact, I'm going to recruit you to the parent panel for this conference. Okay?
I will take the invitation.
Yeah. You'll be great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Want to raise enough awareness for Fragile X as possible?
Yeah, you. Absolutely. You got to wear your T-shirt too.
I will make panel. I will make me a parent panel T-shirt.
Yeah, that will be great.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So the next one is: should we be expecting some regression with our children with Fragile X during this pandemic, and how can we make it easier for them to adjust?
So actually, most of the time we don't see significant regression, sometimes an increase in irritability and being bored at home and, you know, sometimes an increase in hyperactivity. But believe it or not, I think the pandemic has really helped anxiety associated with in-person school.
Yes.
And a lot of patients are less anxious at home. So I've seen a lot of behavioral improvements because there's less anxiety when they're not pressured to go out and, you know, interact with people in the classroom. So I think there can be a silver lining in that the stimuli are less detrimental, you know, when they're at home and in their own environment all day long. Some patients do really well with video and other patients don't do well. And some patients have learned to do better as they've gotten used to video. So it goes both ways.
It does. We've been doing video with Emmett as well. And at first it was kind of like, what is that? But they adjust. I feel like if you keep at it with them, they're very compliant and they're willing to explore the idea.
Yeah.
And then kind of, and they'll just kind of learn as they'll learn with you. And yeah. They'll kind of adjust to it. And they're really amazing because Emmett, he interacts with the therapist via, you know, Zoom and things like that. And he'll be like, what are you watching? And he'll show her like, hey, I'm watching this. Which is neat that he has, and I feel like it makes it easier for him because sometimes the in-person is a lot of pressure. Sometimes just that environment, getting him out into the clinic, it's overwhelming. And then once he gets to the clinic, there's lies, there's sounds, there's kids crying, and just the environment becomes so overwhelming for him. And at home, he's comfortable. He's in his own personal space. So he's more willing to do things that you wouldn't see him do at the clinic.
Yeah.
And that's a nice way for the therapist to be able to see a whole different side of them
that they
don't usually see, you know, at
the clinic. That's a very good point.
Yes, of course.
Very good point.
Thank you. Okay, so it says, what can parents expect in regards to distance learning? Should they go for distance learning or a hybrid model offered by their school districts?
I think either one. I think maybe a hybrid model would be the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
and
indeed.
Particularly in the hybrid model, they maybe have you go to school 2 days a week, but it's a far fewer patients in the classroom and they're able to do masking and, you know, 6 foot distancing, you know, so that less kids are there each time. And I think that the kids with Fragile X would do well in that situation where there's less kids.
Yes.
But I think they could still get a lot of socialization out of that in-person interaction, even though they're socially distanced. And then, you know, I think the rest of the time they're at home and being less anxious and learning from video. So I think a hybrid model is good.
That would be ideal. I don't know if it's an option for many of you guys, but I mean, for us it's not. It's all distance learning, but I think we're going to adjust to it perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of going with it and just keep at it. Don't give up.
Yeah.
So the next question is, what current research studies are available here at the Mind Institute?
Yeah, so we do have studies available here at the Mind Institute. We are seeing patients for the Zenerba study, which is a topical ointment that's put on the shoulders. It's CBD treatment. We've seen many patients for a control trial of this topical Zenerba. We're not pulling in new patients now. I wish it was still open for new patients, but we're following many patients on the control trial and also on an open label trial. Actually, the control trial has ended and they're analyzing the data, and actually the preliminary results from the data show that those with a full mutation that were fully methylated did best with the topical CBD. We have a metformin study for kids ages 6 through 25. And metformin is a targeted treatment for Fragile X syndrome. It lowers this MECRC and mTOR pathway that's too upregulated when there's an absence of the Fragile X protein. And we recruit both males and females into this study, and we think it's quite helpful. We're also doing the Fragile X Learn study, the AFQ-056, together with parent-implemented language intervention.
That was my favorite.
And Emmett did well.
I love that. I feel like that, especially during this time, the pandemic, I feel like it gave me the tools to be able to implement distance learning, because the PLE study takes place in distance, like with the speech therapist, through a video kind of thing, and that kind of got me prepared for Yeah. This, the way the distance learning looks now.
Yeah.
Which they were like, oh, how do you know how to do that? I was like, I have everything set up for you. Telling the therapist, I have everything set up for you. What do you want me to do? And then they were like, oh, that's so great. Like, a lot of parents don't know what to do in that occasion.
Yeah.
And yeah, that definitely was a great resource.
Yeah. And so there's studies that are coming up, we hope to be able to do. One is with Anavex 2-73. This is a medication that we want to use for treating FACTS, the Fragile X Associated Tremor Ataxia Disorder, but it actually also cures the Fragile X mouse, and I think it will be helpful for individuals with Fragile X syndrome. We don't have funding for it yet, but we hope to get that funding. We're writing grants now, and maybe even the company will start that funding in the future. There will be other CBD studies coming up. In fact, we're in negotiations now with another company. You know, there will be a variety of new medications available for Fragile X syndrome. Len Abidudo is also doing, it's not a medication study, but doing a study of transitions after high school into adult life. We eventually want to start at UC Davis a college program for individuals with neurodevelopmental disorders, including Fragile X syndrome, similar to what they have at Minot State and also Taft College outside of Bakersfield has a great program too. But we would love to do a program like this at UC Davis.
That would be amazing. I'm looking forward to that. It gets me so excited.
Yeah.
Kids would benefit from that kind of service.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of studies going on. Len Abidudo has other language studies, and we have a great team of people. David Hessel has a toolbox study. It's looking at a different method of looking at cognitive gains in individuals with Fragile X syndrome using the NIH toolbox and modifying it for Fragile X patients or patients with other neurodevelopmental disorders. And so it's testing and retesting on the toolbox for individuals kind of in mid-childhood. And he's also, Dr. Hessel's also very interested in an iPhone app to look at the progression of behavior problems on any sort of study. So hopefully he'll get funded for that. And that may be another medication trial.
That's great. There's a lot of things going
on. There's a lot. I can hardly keep up with it.
You guys are also busy all the time, huh?
Yeah.
Developing new treatments.
Yeah, even during COVID, we're busy.
Yep. That's what we're here.
Yeah.
Okay, so another question is, what advice would you give a parent whose child just got diagnosed with Fragile X syndrome?
Yes, so a lot depends on what the age of the child is. We have a new book coming out with McKeith Press, and one of the chapters is, my baby was diagnosed with Fragile X syndrome, what do I do? Basically, we talk a lot about Fragile X and the spectrum of involvement, and we talk about how the gene mutation goes through a family, and we talk about involvement in other family members. And if the child has Fragile X syndrome with a full mutation, of course, the gene comes from the mother. But if the child has, if it's a girl with the premutation, she could have gotten it from her father or her mother. So we go through the genetics and do genetic counseling. We talk about the therapy interventions. We talk about potential psychopharmacological interventions. We talk about parent support groups. Yeah. We talk about the National Fragile X Foundation and the kind of online resources for families. Not only the National, but the FRAXA Foundation has a lot of information on their website too. We talk about, you know, future treatments. So it's a long discussion once the diagnosis of Fragile X is made. But we like to be very positive. I'm I'm very positive that I think the interventions that we give can really make a difference in the child's life and in the family's life. And, you know, I'm very optimistic about, I think of any neurodevelopmental disorder, this is probably the best one to have because the treatment options are so terrific.
Would you say that if the child's diagnosed early on, that the parents should start early intervention at that moment?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you can start therapies and a lot of stuff even in the first year of life.
Yes, that is because they have, well, Emmett had like a lot of low muscle tone when he was younger. He lifting up his head. I feel like they benefit from physical therapy at that age a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they have a lot of like.
And even OT therapy and even, you know, some guidance for how to stimulate verbalizations and language.
Speech, play therapy.
And then,
nice.
Yeah. And then also, I think it's important to give them foods that have antioxidants, you know.
Develop a diet. Cause they're,
You know, fruit and berries. Blueberries is the highest in antioxidants, omega-3. Curcumin is a very good antioxidant. Even melatonin to help with sleep problems, which are very common even in the first year of life, helps to improve synaptic connections in the hippocampus. So that's a good thing too.
Yeah, and to start pretty early on.
Yeah.
With that kind of service. Okay. So I think that's all my questions. Did you want
to ask? Wow, that's very few questions.
I didn't want to take too much of your time because
I know
you're so busy.
No, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the parent panel.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
I accept
to help guide the stem cell therapist researchers.
I am so excited. I hadn't heard about it, so I'm so excited about it now.
Yeah. I'll send you a flyer.
Send me everything.
Yeah.
I know, because, well, Emmett's done with a lot of the studies that we started. So I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to leave. But I'm so excited for that one because I've been eyeballing some of those things.
Absolutely. You'll learn a lot. I will, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a learning experience for all of us. Thank you so much, Dr. H.
Okay.
Thank you guys for listening.
Anytime you want a follow-up.
All right. And thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.